Welcome to
Blog
the show,
Talk
folks.
Radio.
We're going to do a 2-30 minute broadcast tonight, which means our co-host will have to call in twice. I have to buy premium tomorrow. I misplaced my ATM card. So I'm going to play this clip. It's from the documentary about Michael Brown. It's called Stranger Fruit, and it was determined that he had entered the store at 1:15 in the morning the night before he died and exchanged marijuana, and he was given by a store clerk two cases of cigarillos. It was a barter exchange for giving four employees pot. And just listen to this clip, please, and then you'll know what I'm talking about.
Passenger in a dark-colored passenger vehicle. Brown enters and exits the front doors. Brown enters and exits the front doors. Michael was at the market at 1:13 a.m. the night before he died. Camera 7. The male proceeds to the beverage cooler, selected unknown items, and proceeded to the register. The male remains at the counter and eventually leaves the area of the register with no merchandise. I couldn't believe what I had read. Michael was in the store the night before he died. At St. Louis County.
I'm going to read along.
Well, guess what, St. Louis County? I've got the videotape.
I was surprised to hear that 2 years later, there was. What you're going to see on this video is what they didn't show what happened that clarifies that there was an understanding, and that's what you're going to see in that video.
In the early hours of August 9th, just 11 hours before Mike died, he went to his local convenience store to make an exchange. Look carefully at the counter.
Traded the store owner's weed for two boxes of cigarillos. He left the items at the store and then went back to the state to pick them up. He did not rob the store. With that, I'll bring Albert and Don in. And John's here, too, already. So I'm going to take Albert first. Hi, Albert. Thanks for calling in tonight.
Hey. Yep.
I'm highlighting the movie Stranger Fruit. It shows that Michael Brown entered the store 10.5 hours before he came to the store the next day to pick up the cigarillos that were presented to him. In other words, he did not steal cigarillos.
It's an official documentary, or is it like
It's an official documentary that was shown at the South by Southwest Film Festival. It's not available yet for widescreen it may be in some independent theaters, but it hasn't been widely distributed yet. The New York Times. The New York Times. Can you wait till we have four callers on the line, so I'm going to have to explain first. The New York. What?
It's a quick question. I just wanted to know if it was a homemade video or it was a documentary.
It was a professional independent movie producer. I forgot his name. I'll have to look it up. But just a minute. Yeah, it was presented. It's like it would be the kind of film that you would see at the Sundance Festival or the Toronto Film Festival in the summer. It's not some cheesy homemade video. But what they did is they investigated the St. Louis County police records, probably through the Freedom of Information Act, and found out that Michael Brown had entered the store twice in the 24 hours before his death, and he had made a bartering pact with the employees there, who knew him well, by the way, and they gave him two boxes of cigarillos for weed. So he never stole. He might have roughhoused somebody the next day, but he never stole. So let's say hi to everybody quick before. So we only have 30 minutes, so we're going to have to make things work. We technically have 45 minutes, but our next show is starting in 20 minutes. Good evening, Ben. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Good. I'm going to pull everybody in, and then I want to tell you guys something else. Good evening, Don.
Hey, Jane. Hey, everybody. How you doing?
We're all fine. Good evening, John. You're the last name in the alphabet.
Good evening, Jane Hoffman. How are you?
So the topic tonight is Stranger Fruit, a movie that was produced by a Jewish guy, an independent documentary in which he called it a modern-day lynching, which is probably an overused term. But I watched did you guys know that the New York Times, what they do is they take courtroom testimony like they do in the federal trial for the Michael Brown case, and they reenact it on YouTube? Anyways, they had to reenact them with Dorian Johnson and Darren Wilson, the cop who killed Michael Brown, and Dorian Johnson, the witness, and it was word for word verbatim. It was actually pretty good. And this is a very complicated case that Michael Brown won. First of all, there were several eyewitnesses, but there were so many factors to consider. But the fact of the matter is Darren Wilson did not treat him very well, and Michael Brown was very forceful with him. They had a lot of intensity in their confrontation before he got shot. So it didn't start out on the right foot, and it definitely didn't end on the right foot. We're not going to go into all what the federal government figured out about the police and stuff later, about the charges, about that kind of stuff. But does anybody have any upfront comment right away? Because I got to keep my comments short.
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
It's a sad song. It was written by a Russian Jew. So it's a political movement type of a song. It wasn't his personal experience. He was trying to build a movement. He was a communist.
Called Stranger Fruit?
No, the author of the actual song.
Well, I don't know the song. What's the name of the song?
Abel Mirafol is his name. And the song was made popular by Billie Holiday. Abel couldn't really sing it very well because he wasn't. Strange Fruit. Yeah.
I know it has some kind of cultural connotation, because even when I tried to find the documentary on YouTube, all this other weird stuff came up. Well,
right.
What I'm trying to imply is I would like to find the clip of the man who actually did the documentary, because he kind of goes into the reason why he made it. He felt like, now I know this is like beating an old drum, but the media didn't even have the right facts in this case. So they didn't know exactly what was going on, and Dorian Gray and Michael Brown are really the only two who did. So that's my take on it. I mean, nothing might have come out different. He probably would have been killed anyway because of the attitude of this cop. I'm not just trying to go black on white tonight, but I'm just saying that, you know, it was just a rough set of circumstances. John,
well,
do you have a comment? I'm sure you do.
Do they have total video of all conversation and the whole incident? Because it seems like when you mix drug deals with money and police and criminal, you know, I mean, a shady background, bad stuff's going to happen. And I'm not saying that the cops are innocent. I'm just saying that when stuff like this goes down, it's usually not at church with the Girl Scouts or the Boy Scouts. It's someone street level mixing drugs and other stuff. And, you know,
when he was killed, he was walking down the street in broad daylight. He was nowhere near that store. There was no drugs exchanged. And neither Dorian Johnson, his friend, or Michael Brown had any weaponry on them. The police was mad because he wasn't walking on the right side of the street.
Right, but I guess
that's the truth.
Did they have the actual video of him walking and the conversation and everything that led up to that, you know, fateful second of action?
They don't have a video, but they have police reports.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but check this out. Check this out. Now, I mean, we know for a fact that, yes, more people kill people than police kill people, but in 2015, in the whole year of 2015, they numbered that the cops killing people was like 1,000, and then people killing cops was only about like 12, you know, compared to 1,000. I don't remember the exact number, but it was around that. It was something about 1,000. But it was 2015. Anyways. A lot more cops kill people than people kill cops. So that's something very interesting to look at.
No, the study has to be done with the correct numbers. There's less cops than there are population.
That's
so
true.
The numbers are skewed. If you had 300 million cops, they would probably kill more people than 300 million civilians if you do the numbers correctly.
No, here, let me repeat myself. There's more cops killing people than there are people killing cops. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, but you
didn't say that first.
Like, how many times do you pull over a cop and because of suspicious behavior? You know, I think I kind of went over this. Like, every day probably 100,000 people get pulled over, and a cop has to make a split decision on, is this person going to shoot me? Or are they just going, they're late to get ice cream? So I think it's a tough comparison. I do think if cops did something wrong by procedure, it should definitely be prosecuted. But it's a tough – I wouldn't want to be a cop. I'll put it that way. They're asked to make decisions on the fly. And you figure if 1 out of 1,000 or 1 out of 10,000 situations go bad, or say 1 out of 100,000, every day you're going to have, or every week you're going to have a bad situation go down, you know. And I just don't know if you can eliminate that, you know.
But check this out. Over the years, because I looked at 2015, I watched this in the news, right, in 2015, and it was surprising me, right, for 2015. I didn't check what was 2016, 2017, but from heard it's just been getting worse. And so what I was wondering is, like, well, if there's more cops killing people than people killing cops, then why are the police being more military armed and the people are getting more gun restrictions? It's like it's backwards. It's like the more gun restrictions to the people, but you militarize the police even more. So, you know, you get.
I don't think people are getting more gun restrictions. I think in some states the background check is tougher, but in a lot of states they're not.
Well, in California, it's
and
really
a lot of those laws aren't enforced either.
Can I play you?
Since we only have 30 more minutes on this show, and then we have to all call back, and I just want to play a quick clip with a louder volume. Hold on.
I obtained this video by deciding to move to Ferguson, work with the family, and do real investigative journalism for the last 2 years. And that's how the truth comes out. When you do real work and you focus on one story and you dig into it. We originally found the paperwork in the St. Louis County Police Report, which shows that they saw a video at 1:13 a.m. of Michael Brown walking into the convenience store. And that tipped us off that this happened. They admit that it happened in their own report, and the document which we found proved it. So them saying that they don't know what they're talking about is ridiculous because they either don't read the report or they're not telling us the truth. Based on everything that's happened, it seems like they're probably not telling us the truth. So we found the document, and then we were able to acquire the video. And the video is at the same exact time as their own document.
Okay, I'm not going to play the whole thing. Basically, John, you had a question earlier that how did this was the director, Jason Pollock, how did he get the information? He weeded through the police documents, and then he was able to obtain the video from the store owner. There were two videos, one the day of the shooting and one the day before, and that's how he got the information. So I just wanted to clear that up.
Right. So the police basically found a black man in the streets and executed him because they didn't like black people, is what they're saying?
Well, I think
I'm asking, this is what the basic claim is. They found a black man in the streets, went down and shot and executed him for no reason.
Actually, it was a white guy by himself, Darren Wilson. He never called for backup. He never called it in. And the way that the police found out that he shot someone was on the news, because a stringer covered it.
So they should arrest him
for murder. Well, Darren Wilson was charged, but then he ended up resigning and he never got charged because... Remember there was a big federal investigation where they interviewed people about 30 days
right.
later?
Well, if he murdered someone, he should be
What happened
murdered.
To Don Gallimore, the big expert? Where is he?
I told you not to get on this subject. Hi there, everybody. I've explained it a million times, and it's the same thing. John, yes, they killed him because he was black. This happens all the time.
That's what I was asking. If he murdered someone, they should put him up for murder, and he should be prosecuted appropriately that way. I have no problem with that.
That word should, and then
evidence is pure.
Police reports are altered daily.
Yep,
altered
evidence.
But for the most part, he was shot mainly because he was black. Another black man gone awry, and the police officer—I forgot his name right now. The officer he had
Darren
just been
Wilson.
Fired. Okay,
yeah.
Darren Wilson. Oh, you know he's just another goofball. But the bottom line is that he was fired. About a year before from one of the other locales, police department for unnecessary roughness. So he was already a marked person, or he was a mark who he was a person looking for marks. And that's
yep.
what he, so this was a straight out just because he's black, he's a dead man. Michael Wilson.
Now, let me add to this. Now, let me add to this. Because it's just weird how it just happens every time. I mean, a police kills somebody, and then they bring more policemen from the same department to look at and investigate, you know what I mean? And it's like, you know what I mean? I mean, they're buddies and they're friends. I mean, what are they going to say? Your coworker that works with you every day is going to say, yeah, he's guilty. He's a murderer. He's probably going to have his back, you know? So, you know, I mean, I don't get why every time, I mean, they should at least, like, every time a police kills somebody, they should call somebody from a different department and come over there immediately, not, you know, like, not have their buddies.
There you go with that word, good again. So with that word, good again. Good sucks. The law is made to be broken. So this is what the police do. They know they can break the law and get away with it. Chicago, for instance, has such a high police killing rate that, and they hadn't had a prosecution for 35 years. 35 years. And they've been shooting people all day long, every day, like a shooting gallery.
Yep, and I want to
kind
of...
Here's a question. If it was a black cop shooting a black person, would it still be the same issue, or would it be just that cops are killing black people or Mexicans?
When one is in a situation for training or for life, they assimilate whatever environmental, external inputs that they are receiving. So a black cop, he doesn't know he's a black cop except when he's in the locker room. But he doesn't know he's a black cop. He just thinks he's a cop. He doesn't know that he's a mark. You know, he's still a black man.
Yeah, and then let me...
John, let's let Ben say something too, but John, they said in Jason Pollock, the director, said had it been a white kid shot by a white cop, like the parents would have sued the police department and won.
Exactly.
Right. So
go ahead, Albert.
I mean, if the parents have a lot of money, can afford good lawyers, you know what I mean, good prosecutors and everything, and hire their own private investigator, you know what I mean, then yes, a wealthy parents can sue and win. But if you can't afford a private investigator and a good lawyer, then you're pretty much screwed, you know. But, you know, let me put it this way, man, because, I mean, every year, the military are getting more militarized and people are getting more gun restrictions. And I'm telling you this because I live in California, and when I purchased a gun like a year and a half ago, I bought a gun, and the application was a lot bigger than it was 5 years ago when I bought a shotgun. Actually, that's about 6 years ago when I bought that shotgun. But anyways, 6 years from when I bought that shotgun and 2 years from when I bought that handgun recently, the application was a whole lot bigger. And, you know, for me, out in California, I'm feeling the gun restrictions are just a whole lot bigger. And check this out. Because to buy a handgun, you need to pass a test before you can even buy a handgun to do the application. And the test expires every 5 years, so you got to renew it every 5 years. Those things used to last 15 years, but now right now they're only lasting 5 years here in California. So you got to renew them every 5 years. So, yes, there are more gun restrictions here that I'm seeing here in California.
Well, the question is, what solutions would you suggest, you know, to everyone regarding the situation? You have cops killing black people. So what solution do you have? Do you have a special group of police that are minorities? Do you have women go out and enforce the law? Do you legalize? Don't stop black people. Don't question them. Just let them do what they want. If they commit a crime, report it, and we'll send a report later.
I'll tell you how. It's very
well.
Convenient.
In Ferguson, they had a high number of people being stopped daily by cops for just any old reason, and that was even. We actually have a guest. We have a guest caller, and you all have to hang up and call back in 15 minutes too for the next show. But let's just take the guest quick. This is Jane from Minnesota, and there's four callers on the line from the West Coast. Who's calling in tonight?
Liberals suck. Trump rules.
Bye, loser.
Is he going to hang out?
He already did. Ben, that's a segue. Ben, that's a segue for you to make a comment. Go ahead, Ben.
Okay, I got three built up. First of all, there's a huge difference in legality between handguns and shotguns. And handguns and assault-style rifles have similar legislation. Shotguns are not a threat so much. There is hardly any problem with shotgun deaths. The number one is handguns, but the number one legislation is assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. So that's why it's easy to go buy a shotgun, but it's difficult to fill out paperwork for a concealed handgun license.
Okay.
Second of all...
Is that true in California, too?
Well, it's true on all of the West Coast. California usually comes out with new gun legislation thinking that they're going to create a new utopia, and it causes all kinds of problems, and other states adapt them.
So is the issue with basically that with a shotgun, if you walk out in the street with a shotgun, first of all, you're going to get pulled out. But second of all, you can put a handgun in your pocket and walk anywhere and then create all kinds of crimes, basically.
Yeah, right. But of course. I have right here, I'm looking at right here, it says handgun safety certification. It's a little card that they give me. I even have the certification number, which is 1031669. That's my certification number. But anyways, this is only good for 5 years. And the old ones used to last for 15 years. And these are for the handguns.
Well, they need to make sure that in those 5 years that you don't have crimes built up. So they want to check you out more often. They want more money, too. It's like a fishing license. Pretty soon it'll be every year. They generate tons of revenue from licensing, and nobody can deny that. Every county generates tons of revenue for licensing. But my concern is, where was Mike Brown's father? You never heard from Mike Brown's father after all this. Where did he have a father in the home?
He was right there with the wife on the street holding a sign that the police shot my son. He was there. He was in his life.
He was in the home?
Yes. I saw it on another documentary I watched tonight on the New York Times. You know, you guys got to keep in mind this kid was only 18 years old, for God's sake. I think really the only reason the cop shot him is because he was scared of him because the kid kept arguing with him. So I know John would say then he probably deserved it. But the fact of the matter was is he only was 18.
I wouldn't say anybody deserves to get killed. I would say that lack of respect can get you killed. If you walk out into the street like you own the street and you get stopped and questioned by a policeman, do you think it's a good idea to start disrespecting that cop and escalate? I know cops are supposed to be able to de-escalate.
No, I don't think it's a good idea. I think the cop pissed him off so much because the cop opened the car door and hit him and Dorian Johnson. They nicked them. And then he pulled Michael Brown by the neck into the cop car, and then he ricocheted back. And at that point, Michael Brown lost his temper. So I don't know why the cop just didn't get out of the car. Maybe he was scared. Michael Brown was 6'5 and 289. Maybe that was what he said.
6'5", 289? Do you know what that is when you stop a man that's 6'5", 289, and he's not compliant? Do you know how scared you are for your freaking life when someone's 6'5", 290? That's a wall. That's a football player. You better believe I would be ready to pull a gun in a split second because that person can tear me apart from limb to limb, right?
Hey, wait a minute, wait a minute. It doesn't matter what size you are. You are. The cop is the one with the gun. I mean, why should the cop be scared of him, you know, if he doesn't have a gun? Now, let's just say he does have a gun, but, you know, I mean, that would mean he's just as scared with a gun or without a gun. Would it even matter, you know? I mean, the cop's the one with the gun.
On the streets and you're a minority and you're used to roughhousing and you're running drugs, the cop stops you, you can kind of figure that cop is going to be trigger happy because the only thing that can stop you is his weapon. He's not going to want to go mano a mano. I'm not justifying murder. I'm just saying that's the reality. If you were out there trying to stop someone that big, what would you, and you said stop or you said comply and they said F you, mother effer, what would you do? Would you go, well, okay, I'm just a cop. You do what you want to do on the street. Keep walking and hope you don't do anything wrong. I got to go get some donuts.
I got to hang up in 2 minutes and you guys got to call back in. So
okay,
if the show, you guys can keep talking, but if the show gets cut off, just call right back, okay? Sorry.
Okay, gotcha.